Titans. But, you know, it's time to come out and show the world what God's been instilling in me this year. I'm ready to get back on the field. That's my life. That's what I do for a living. I miss the whole year and have to remind everybody who L'Jarius Sneed is. This was the quote from Sneed earlier this week discussing his health. Says he's as healthy as he's been. So first off, what do you make of that? And then number two, we'll get to, if that's true, what does that mean for the Titans defense?
By the way, that's NBC6 in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Yes.
Well, that is as healthy as I've been in the last month, in the last year, in the last 5 years, in my entire life.
Today.
What does that mean? Yeah, right now. But obviously, it's hugely important that there's truth in that statement and that he can get out there. The knee thing, obviously, has basically just made him someone who doesn't practice, which is just, it's just a concern. I mean, now, you know, again, going into last year, it's like, well, look at how he played in 2023. Who cares? He didn't practice. He played great, so whatever. But then last year, and then, you know, whatever, the quad, seems like the quad, at the very least, the quad, much more long-term and serious than you would think a quad injury would be, and maybe there's something to do with the knees there. I don't know. I'm not a Twitter doctor, but it's like it's a quad, and yeah, we're still talking about it. So the knees are still the bigger concerns, and then, of course, his deposition coming up here on the civil case on the alleged shooting, that is coming up on July 18th, and that's another big factor here. But, look, I do think that you look at this defense and say, here's L'Jarius Sneed, what they thought they were getting. 1 year later, they're getting him on this defense, or just the same old stuff that they have been not getting. I think there's a pretty big either-or for this defense there.
Oh, I totally agree. And, look, either way, if L'Jarius Sneed is healthy or if he's not, I still have pretty significant concerns about the defense for no other reason than the pass rush. Like, I just, their lack of pass rushing options, proven options that they got available to them right now, scare me to death on the defensive side of the ball. Now, I'd feel better about it if they got full strength L'Jarius Sneed back because, you know, in his heyday, one of the best cover corners in the NFL. So if that's what he is and that's what the Titans are getting in year two, then great. That obviously helps your defense. You know, we've talked about this before. You know, I don't know that it doesn't matter at all, but there are limitations to how good your corners can be if you just can't affect the quarterback at all. So that still is going to be a huge concern heading into this year. But, you know, I also look at their corner group. To me, Joe, there's a huge difference in their corner group if he's healthy and if he's not. If he's healthy, then I feel like they got a pretty strong corner group. If he's not, then you start to have some questions about it pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's still a lot. It's just so much more on Jarvis Brownlee. You know, if not last year, there's a rookie cornerback, not a quarterback, who got thrown in. And good for him. And he's one of the, you know, he's one
fine.
Of the.
He's fine. He's good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's a nice pick, Rand. Good job, Rand. Just saying. Rand cooked a little bit there. Quick little.
Rand microwaved.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Rand boiled water, at least, with that one. So, but, yeah, you like him as a second-year player a lot more if you've got L'Jarius Sneed out there for sure. You know, another thing with the corner situation, you know, Roger McCreary.
Yep.
You know, the Titans, we had this thing at the Athletic, and it's like, you know, what contract is interesting with, you know, the 32 teams? What's the most interesting contract situation? You know, a lot of teams obviously have, there's always interesting contract situations. We've been talking about Hendrickson and Watt and all this stuff. The Titans, man, it's hard. It's hard to find anything with the Titans, which tells you how bad things have been. When you never draft good players or have good young players, that's, you don't have contract situations. But McCreary is one that I think could be, you know, worth an extension. You know, nothing major, but I think that I would lock him up, I think.
I agree.
He's been durable. I think he's only missed like 4 games in 3 years. So, taken for granted a little bit, but nice player. He's one of the pluses on your defense.
Yeah, got a comment on YouTube that says, of course Sneed missed games with the Titans after not missing any with another team. He was a good corner, but I'm sorry, the Colts receivers smoking him last year made me lose hope.
I mean, they all get beat at times, man.
They all get beat at times. And now, look, I will say, before his injury last year, he did not look like L'Jarius Sneed in Kansas City. Now, how much of that was the knee? How much of that was the rest of the defense around him? It's not like he was horrible out there last year before the injury, but he wasn't – like, you didn't walk away from games being like, well, man, they didn't even try throwing the ball on that side of the field because L'Jarius Sneed's out there.
Right.
So, is he going to get back to what he was 2 years ago with Kansas City? Frankly, I've got my doubts about that. Number one, I've got my doubts about him remaining healthy and available. But for the sake of this discussion, we're just assuming that he does. You know, if he's healthy and available, can he still give you that level of play? He's 28, so it's not like he's
only 28.
Guy.
Yeah, you think of him as a young 30s guy, but he's not.
Right. Like, so does that level of play that we saw 2 years ago from him, his last year in Kansas City, does that exist still? Is he still that type of player when he's healthy? I mean, he says he is. He says he's got to go show the world who L'Jarius Sneed is. So if that's the way he's approaching it, great. Like, if he's out with a chip on his shoulder and something to prove, awesome. If he's available and healthy and he's – the legal trouble doesn't keep him off the field, all those things. There's a lot of ifs with L'Jarius Sneed that I recognize. But if all those things come together, if that's what they're getting, well, that's a pretty big difference for the Titans defense if that guy's who they're getting.
So obviously you're talking about a 4-year, $76 million deal, $76 million max.
Yeah.
So if it turns out that this situation with the shooting, the alleged shooting in Texas, results in a suspension, which then gives the Titans, I believe the Titans can then get out of that, get looking at their situation, look at him and everything that we know. Would you do that if you were them?
Yes.
Yeah?
I would.
To me, it's not my money, but I'm still, with what I know, if I believe he can be a good player, even if he's not a great player, even if he's not a player who lives up to that contract, I think I'm still keeping him.
I would be really interested to see, because I don't think he's not going to talk about this publicly, but behind closed doors, I would love to know what Mike Borgonzi thinks about him.
He's traded him. He's gotten rid of him once.
Exactly. Like, Mike Borgonzi has seen him play elite level football, and he has also been a part of the trade that sent him here in the first place. So I would love to know, at this stage of his career, factoring in everything off the field, injury, all of it, with L'Jarius Sneed, if that opportunity presented itself, what would Mike Borgonzi do? Because my guess is he'd be moving on. That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I can't prove it. That's just my guess.
It's one of those things where I think part of the answer there is, how good do you actually think this team can be?
Right.
You know, if you look at your defense, you're like, look, there's no pass rush. Like, it's a half roster of defense anyway. So yeah, would Sneed make us better? Yes, but does he tilt the scales to winning? I mean, I think there's serious doubt there. But if, you know, it's like, actually this offense can be better than people think. Actually, watch out for Cam Ward, and you still need good football players. And if you have a guy out there, like you said, the corner group is a lot different with and without him. Just isolate the corner group. Okay, well, you know, yeah, it's an overpay, and I wouldn't have made that deal. That's why we made the deal to give him to you
right
back then. But, you know, it might make the – I think the overall realistic behind closed doors hopes for this team are a factor.
What do you make of L'Jarius Sneed, his comments that he's as healthy as he's been, and do you expect him to be a legitimate difference maker for the Titans this year on the defensive side of the ball? We'll take your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Tzatziki's. If you're craving something fresh and flavorful, Tzatziki's has you covered, from juicy chicken kebabs to perfectly grilled salmon, every bite bursting with Mediterranean goodness. And don't even get us started on the homemade sauces and dressing. Get half off a $25 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
What should we expect from Snead as training camp starts? Should we expect him to be a full participant? And as we're setting our expectations for L'Jarius Snead this coming season, what should be that baseline?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, that sure sounded good, right?
Yes,
and I think to take it from verbal to physical, he needs to be there and be practice. And I know he has his own management plan and everything like that, but in order to get to the level that he previously was, he needs to get back into, you know, the grinds, is going through and getting it about the mud how he did when he first got into the league as a fifth or fourth round draft pick. So that's what the expectation should be. That's what my expectation would be if I'm Brian Callahan and, of course, Denard Wilson.
That's Teron Davenport on with DVD. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, L'Jarius Snead, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rob Brandt coming up at 745. Andrew Burnett, Predators head coach, will be with us at 815. All that coming up. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Skyler says, I've really enjoyed listening to you guys talk Preds the last few weeks. It's depressing listening to Titans talk. But hey.
But the Preds talk isn't?
Yeah, I was about to say. It's a new year for both of them, baby. The slate is clean as we head into training camp for the Titans here in just a few weeks. And we're still a couple months out from the Predators training camp, but still.
You're giving them a clean slate, both of them?
Sure. I mean, technically, the record is 0-0.
Men in Black. It's like,
yeah, we're just going to forget everything that's happened the last year.
Maybe we should.
I mean, I think a lot of Nashville sports fans would be like, yeah, let's do that. Let's forget all of it.
I think so. Nashville SC?
Still rolling.
Kicking some butt.
Still rolling. Absolutely. You know, PK was on Friday, and he did say that, you know, he thinks that Snead could start on PUP. So worth keeping in mind there. Again, this is what, you know, Snead saying he's as healthy as he's been. Well, what does that mean? Because nobody believes that. Like, you're as healthy as you've been in your entire career. You're as healthy as you've been this week. Like, what does that mean, first off? Because I don't think anybody believes L'Jarius Snead is as healthy as he's been in his career. So I did see that earlier this week, and I was like, well, if that's what he's talking about, we know that's not true, because the Titans have talked about how there's going to be a plan and a management plan with his knee here. So we know that part of it's not true.
Right, it's like the interview he did with Caroline shortly after the Titans signed him, when she was asking about contractual stuff with the knee, but he was like, you know, basically the knee is nothing. And it's like, well, then you'd practice, I think, right? Because usually in sports, you practice before games, usually.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that you do practice. So the YouTube and text line conversations are both saying that PK said he will be on PUP.
I'll have to go back and double check it. I thought he said he could open up on PUP, but I will go back and double check.
I think could is correct. I think could's correct.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know, but I'm just – because I don't see how he would know for sure that he's going to be on PUP at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he said could, but again, I will go back and double check what PK said on that front. But either way, you know – I'd like to see him out there in practice and training camp at some point, right? Like, I know that what we talked about last year with Snead was, if he doesn't practice, does it really matter? Because he just did that with Kansas City.
Right.
And he didn't really practice all that much, hardly at all. And he got out there and he played great. So at the end of the day, like, if L'Jarius Snead this year was on some management plan and he didn't practice and he missed the first week of training camp, but he comes out there and he plays like an all-pro cornerback all year, then I don't care if he practices or not. But it all just kind of leads back to, well, if he's not practicing again, how healthy is he really, and how realistic is it that he's going to give you the play that you're looking for?
Yeah. Look, that position, like, for example, take receiver. Receiver is so much, I mean, it's obviously it's coverage recognition and things like that. It's being on the same page with your quarterback. It's timing. Practice is so critical for a receiver. It's critical for offensive linemen and their timing and the coordination of things. Even you think about, like, defensive linemen running games and things like that. There's a lot of things that go into practice that are important. Corner, it's probably the least important position to practice at, I would say, probably, because it really is – a lot of it, again, you have to know what coverage you're in, and stuff like that. But I mean, it's pretty simple, right?
Yeah,
it's pretty simple. So from that perspective,
simple in concept, yeah.
Well, exactly. Yeah, very hard to do well and not get embarrassed in public. But I'd say it's probably the least important practice position. But yeah, again, it's if you're not doing it, you can't. How could you sit here and say? But again, I guess if you're healthy as you've been, well, it has been a while. I mean, I guess he hasn't really practiced much at all, right?
That's true. I mean, as we sit here today, is your expectation that L'Jarius Sneed is going to be out there in every training camp practice or even close to every training camp practice?
Not at all.
Because mine's not.
No.
I mean, I don't think so.
Not at all. But just like you, tell me he practices not one bit, but he plays in every game, I'm signing up for it. Now, am I signing up for it if they get the out, you know, on a suspension? I don't know. I mean, I guess I go back and forth on that. I know someone on the text line said I'm crazy to think that you would not take advantage of that if you had the opportunity.
I think when we did the Titans buy or sell stuff a couple weeks ago, I think the number I threw out there was 10 games for L'Jarius Sneed. Like, would he play over under 10 games? I mean, I think I took the under. There's no way for us to know sitting here today. Like, we can't sit here and predict that. But just based on the way things have gone to this point with his injuries, and now you have another incident off the field that is also taking up some time and some concern here, and I guess we'll have more information on that here in a couple weeks. But it seems like we are going to look back on the L'Jarius Sneed trade and think, good Lord, that was a third-round pick you gave up and a whole lot of money that you gave for an extremely limited return. That's where it looks like it's trending right now.
Yeah, grease fire in the kitchen.
Yeah,
with that one for sure. And yeah, the under is that's the thing. The under is, I assume we all took the under on that because there's a pretty good chance that it's zero because of this thing, right? I mean, there's at least a chance.
Yeah.
Dylan and Antioch says it was could. I trust Dylan and Antioch. PK okay. said could. There's no way right now that he's like, yeah, he'll be on PUP. That would be a headline.
Yeah, I would think so. So could, I think, is probably the way to go about it. And again, you know, like training camp, as I keep reminding everybody, training camp is not the world's biggest deal. Like, we spend so much time around here talking about training camp, and it's like, all right, what from training camp actually matters, what doesn't? I'm not saying him not practicing at all doesn't matter, because if he's not out there like at all in training camp, how do you believe at that point that he's just going to be healthy for you moving forward? I don't expect him to be out there. Like, I can tell you, he's not going to be out there for every practice. Like, the Titans have essentially said that, right? Like, he's not going to be out there for every
practice.
But
here and there would be a good,
here and there would be good.
A very positive sign.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see him being available to practice every now and then.
Joey from Bellevue says, wouldn't Sneed need to practice to knock off the several pounds of rust that's built up for not playing almost a year? Yeah, I don't know if you mean, like, literal several pounds. He doesn't seem like a guy who struggles much with his weight. But, yeah, I know he's saying pounds of rust. Yeah, I mean, again, I just feel like I think if he were healthy and he actually could run, I think you could probably plug him into an NFL game as long as he understands the coverages and what they're doing, the game plan and what the hand set. I think he'd probably go out there and play. You know, like, I don't know that practice – I mean, it's good to practice. It's good to be out there. There's still – like chemistry between teammates in the secondary too, but if there's a plug and play position, that's it.
615-737-1025. Our phone number 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on L'Jarius Sneed, plus a story on Barry Trotz to get to coming up next as well. We will do that this September. Tim McGraw performing at Trinity's Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joey from Bellevue confirming it is in fact not literal pounds. It is pounds of rust.
Can you imagine if you had like pounds of rust on you? Like the tin, I guess, like Wizard of Oz, Tin Man?
Need a tetanus shot at some point, wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably.
Is that a side effect of gout?
I don't know.
You've been told more and more the last gout. 2 weeks that everything is a side effect of gout. So
yeah, every time I forget something, I'm just going to blame the gout now.
We'll have the Rob rant coming up at 7:45. Andrew Burnett at 8:15. Are we doing story time about Barry Trotz here? Do you have a story for us?
Well, I don't. So, you know, this could be an interesting topic. This is a thought I had, and I did think about Michigan State and hockey for this. So, I mean, basically, we're sitting here firing Barry Trotz all week. You know, just a long, painful firing of Barry Trotz.
That has happened a lot.
Yeah.
On the text line.
Especially. Yeah, yeah. But it's obviously not going well. So, but this is where I feel like some Predators fans, and I totally get it, you know, most teams, GMs, they're just people who come get a job, and they're just, you know, do a good job or else you're out of here. And we like you if you're good, and we don't like you if you're not good. Well, Barry Trotz, like David Poile before him, it's more emotional than that, right? I mean, it just there's this, I think it's more painful for a fan base who loves Barry Trotz, who was the coach here for so long, is such a likable guy. Again, David Poile, same way to me. It was at the end of his term, it's like, man, I love David Poile. This is a Preds fan talking. I love that guy, but oh my God, he's got to go. You know, like this move and this. So I'm looking at Barry Trotz. And I feel like some fans, you know, like it's harder for fans to see it go this way. And we'll see. There's a long way to go, or at least, you know.
Seemingly.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to find out. And, you know, it could go different ways. But I will tell you the story of a similar situation, which is, you know, Ron Mason, the late Ron Mason, the late great Ron Mason, great guy. He was Michigan State's athletic director. It just brought this to mind because – He wasn't very good as the athletic director, and everyone was very excited when he got the job, and he went and he hired John L. Smith to be the head coach, and he ignored Urban Meyer, who really wanted the job, for example. There were other better coaches too, and he kind of went off on his own, went off the reservation, went and hired a football coach who just didn't get it done at all. Also wouldn't answer my questions for an entire season, but regardless – So there was a lot of that at that time of, you know, man, this just sucks that if this was just some AD in that job, then it's like, yeah, move on, get the next. But this Ron Mason, we love this guy. You know, here's the thing. His legacy, as people remember, will always be as a national championship winning hockey coach.
Yes.
And it didn't change. It really didn't. You know, I mean, the AD thing didn't work out. This happens in college athletics. You'll see a fair amount of. It's less and less legendary coaches who become ADs, and it's like sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Philip Fulmer, to some degree.
There you go. Yep. People were very excited about that one. Boy, what a weird presser that was. That freaking presser when they hired Philip Fulmer. My God, was that weird. But, yeah, that's – and so what? How do Vols fans think of Philip Fulmer? I mean, yeah, you can say, yeah, the Pruitt hire was pretty bad, and – some of the stuff you said, you know, well, the recruiting was good during Jeremy Pruitt.
That was awesome.
But how do Vols fans think of Philip
Fulmer? Mostly as a coach.
He's the national championship winning coach.
Exactly.
So that's just my point, is that, you know, we'll see what's going to happen here. But nothing's going to change the Barry Trotz, you know, real legacy as a coach. So that was just my little story.
No, I think it's a good point to bring up, like, I mean, the difference would be, you know, Fulmer won a national championship here in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And Ron Mason obviously was a big-time winner at Michigan State.
The all-time winningest coach. He's not anymore, but he was for a long time. Yeah.
Now, Barry Trotz did good work here. He did not win a championship, so there is that.
True.
But, like, there's no doubt that Barry Trotz is a beloved head coach around here. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act like he's universally beloved as a head coach, because I still get tweets or texts every day about, man, Trotz, that getting past the first round like twice when he was here sure was great, wasn't it? It's like, all right, I get it. All right, but just there's more context involved in all the Barry Trotz coaching stuff. But your point is well taken. And look.
And he has won a cup, too. So
he has.
I know it wasn't here, but like, if you want to question him as a coach, I think the overall picture is pretty strong.
Well, and he's also, what is he now? Is he fourth, fifth on the all-time wins list? Like, he's a Hall of Fame head coach. It's not debatable. He's a Hall of Fame head coach.
Right.
Is he going to be a good GM? don't know. Like, you know, the first year, I felt pretty good about it. Like, the way that things were going, and, you know, again, this time a year ago, I was like, wow, he just pulled off Stamkos, Marchessault, and Shea. Barry Trotz is about to win GM of the year. And then it has been totally downhill since then. So, my guess is this, Joe. My guess is he's probably not as good as we thought he was his first year. He's probably not as bad as most people think he is right now, and the truth lies somewhere in the middle. I think the real question is, like, where is all this headed, and what's the timeline on it? And again, a lot of this goes back to Bill Haslam. How does Bill Haslam view all this? Because I don't know the answer to that. It's a different setup and it's a different person that they've got in charge of all this now. And now he's officially in charge. And again, I know he's been involved the last couple of years, but they have been so patient as an organization. And I have no idea how patient or not patient Bill Haslam is going to be moving forward.
Yeah, that's a huge question. Based on his personality, and I think his understanding of what he's coming into and everything, I don't think we're going to be talking about firings left and right, right? And, you know, and look, he's coming in again. Barry Trotz, the track record is still pretty strong. You know, his overall track record in hockey. But, yeah, if we're a year from now, we're sitting here talking about, okay, well, the Preds were bad again. They got in the lottery again. They didn't get number one, though, so they didn't get Gavin McKenna.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be it's a good draft. Like,
if
you were high next year in the draft, you're probably
you're walking with a good player.
With a very good player. But still, I mean, if that's the case, and it's just official that this – entire attempt to win, which is what it is right now, failed, and how does Bill Haslam look at that?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I look at it also this way too. I am totally with people who say if you're worried about 2028 or 2029 and that's how you're, like, you're waiting to judge Barry Trotz on all his draft picks, that's a very simplistic and frankly not realistic way to view the general manager job in today's NHL. I'm with you there. I also recognize that if they're not very good this year and Bill Haslam does decide to hang on, and all of a sudden a year from now Brady Martin pops on the scene,
yeah,
and he's really, really good, then that's people are going to look at it and be like, well, okay, he drafted Brady Martin, let's go. And you're on to that next era. Like, the point is, things change in this league very quickly all the time. Sometimes it's not as quickly as you hope. Sometimes they don't change quickly, but they have the chance to change very quickly in this league. So I have an open mind about how he tries to get out of it from here, but there's no denying the last year for Barry Trotz has gone extremely poorly. Like, there's anybody who's telling you differently, they're not being truthful with this. The last year has not gone well for Barry Trotz.
Yeah. And the thing that we got into, which it's hard to not keep going back to it, but we got into the Soros thing on the, I guess it was Caroline versus Joe,
yes,
yesterday. The Soros thing, and we agreed. Yeah, it's like this idea that people have been unfair or anything. I mean, that to me is like, I have no evidence of that it's anything other than, well, here are the numbers, and also, here's the contract,
yep,
that you just signed to, which just kicked in, right?
Right.
That is going to be as big as anything moving forward, too. You're right, Martin, watching Hagans from afar, bottom line, but also, you see Soros being UC,
sure,
Soros again.
Absolutely. Brandon on the YouTube chat says, loyalty to your guys will get you fired. It did with Fulmer. It will with Trotz. And it will with Heupel. Ellerbe sucks. This is from Brandon.
Oh, as long as we can bring it back to Ellerbe at some point.
Ellerbe is going to get Heupel canned at Tennessee, according to Brandon.
Remind me, who was Fulmer overly loyal to?
Is he talking about Pruitt? I don't think he was really that loyal to Pruitt.
Or I assumed he was talking about when he was a coach.
Oh, a coach? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. They lost to Wyoming.
Yeah, I was there for that one.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That was a fun time.
Yeah.
Great environment in Neyland Stadium that day. I think I may have said about 75 curse words that day. So,
how many empty seats were in that day?
Not many.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, there was it was pretty full.
Okay.
A nice little section from Wyoming, too, that got real loud toward the end of that game. Those people from Wyoming are really fired up over there, huh?
Those Wyoming Cowboys fans can get wild, man.
They were rowdy. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. The Rob Rant coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Next spring meetings, a Feinbaum Rex Road shirtless desk appearance on the beach.
Joe, do you have pointy nipples that show through the polo?
Go Gator.
I'm going to egg every house on that block.
No, I ain't think they, man, is it, my, how I think I sound is regular to where I'm from.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Trevor says, I'd like to place an order to egg Stillbilly's house.
He's standing in front of the net with about 8 inches of his shaft in his hand.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. I mean, the best part of that last clip Ian played is if you watch the video of it, the face that Bob Miller makes is just unbelievable. It's great stuff.
I bet.
Oh, man.
By the way, real quick, Steve Spurrier is 2005 to 2015 at South Carolina.
So this it was Spurrier.
This is an off-air conversation. Discussion. So it was Spurrier, yes.
Okay. I knew that he was involved somehow.
And Eric Berry.
Eric Berry pick six.
The pick six against South Carolina.
It's good stuff. So I got a couple things to say on the Predators front today. There's a certain, I think, segment of the fan base that I need to address today, because not that this is some capital offense, but it just is, it does make me curious. You know, I've seen a lot of Predators fans, Joe, that will complain about, in this instance, the defense and how bad the defense was last year and how they got to fix the defense, which I will not argue any of that. I think we all agree. Defense got to get fixed heading into next year. And yet, when the Predators don't re-sign Mark Delgazzo and he ends up in Montreal, they're like, or they trade Jeremy Lauzon, they're like, what are you guys doing? Why didn't you re-sign Delgazzo? Why is Lauzon gone? And it's like, okay, so do you want him to fix the defense? But you also want them to bring back everybody involved with the defense last year. And it's like, well, I don't understand those two things. Those two things don't add up to me. And I understand that, you know, the coach is in the crosshairs right now. And, again, we're having him at 8:15 today here on the show. But the amount of belly aching from, again, just a certain section of the fan base that I've seen that, like, Mark Delgazzo signed in Montreal yesterday. It's like, who cares? Like, I like Mark Delgazzo. He's a good guy. To me, he is a fringe NHL player, okay? Now, who knows? Maybe he goes off to Montreal and he ends up being great. We'll see. But, like, this idea of, I'd really like to see you fix the defense, but I need you to not get rid of anyone. Like, I need you to have the same exact players back. And people are yelling about Spencer Stastny. Like, Spencer Stastny has got to be on this team. And it's like, why? Why does Spencer Stastny have to be on this team? Again, I'm not anti-Spencer Stastny, but until Spencer Stastny and all these other guys show me something on a consistent basis at the NHL level, none of those guys have to be on the team, okay? And I understand you wanting to give young players a chance, and you know people have moved on to Molendijk and Gibson and all these different guys, and we'll see what that looks like. But I don't understand this idea of you got to fix the defense. You got to fix the defense. You got to fix the defense. And, oh, my God, don't get rid of any of the defensemen. That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
You know, the ultimate test of this is, has anyone said that about Luke Shen?
Yeah.
You know, Luke Shen, it's really sad to see him because that was, that's, I mean, Luke Shen was one of the all-time most complained about Preds.
He really was. Some of it deserving. A lot of it not. Luke Shen was down the list of their problems last year.
Right, but he was like Cole Smith. Cole Smith plays his role fine. He's fine.
Right.
But because what? It was like because he made the team instead of Tomasino 1 year or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
You become like you just become a source of complaints.
Like I just again, every now and then you're a fan. You can do whatever you want to do, so you don't have to listen to me sitting here yelling. I understand that. Like, you're a Predators fan. You can do whatever you want to do. That's fine. I just personally do not understand the fascination with some of these players that have not proved anything at the NHL level. And frankly, when they've been in the NHL, have been replacement-level players at best. Like, I understand being excited about Tanner Molendijk. You're talking about a first-round pick. I understand being excited about whether it's like Svechkov or even to a certain degree, Tomasino, because he's a first-round pick. And people are like, that's our first-round pick out there. Why can't you find a way to use him better? Like, I understand that. But, like, some of the fascination that happens around here over, like, Mark Del Geyso or worried to death about Luke Evangelista and his contract. And it's like, guys, Luke Evangelista is a restricted free agent. He ain't going anywhere. They're going to find a way to get a contract done with him. And by the way, some of you guys are acting like Luke Evangelista is Alex Ovechkin. He's not. He's been fine to this point. He had a bad year last year. I'm not giving up on the kid. I think he's got a chance to be pretty good. But like the worrying about Luke Evangelista not receiving a qualifying offer until the other day, when, by the way, they were due the other day, which is when you're supposed to get it done. I worry about some of our fans sometimes around here. Just ease up. It's going to be all right.
Texter says 10 out of 10 rant. I don't know why people cry for role players the way they do. I will say on Stasny, there's an example of someone. Like, I told him with you on Del Geyso and Lozon. Like, you've seen the best of Lozon, and you saw last year. Like, what if you watched – and then you see again. We'll see what happens with Hague, but like if you paid attention, then it's like, yeah, okay. Like, you shouldn't be upset about that. I will say a guy like Stasny, because he's young, and then he was out of the mix and everything, and there was some promise 2 years ago. I can see a little bit of like, are we sure there's not something more there? You know,
sure.
Something like that. I get young, and you haven't seen a ton yet, but yeah, some of these role players that you've seen plenty, like Lozon, you've seen it, man.
Yeah, and again, Lozon a couple years ago was good. But I guess what I keep coming back to is I don't understand how everybody universally agrees that you got to change the defense and fix the defense, and then you're like, bring everyone back. Have the exact same defense corps. It's like, well, let me tell you, if they bring everybody back, their defense corps is going to suck again. Look, I like Nick Blankenberg. Nick Blankenberg's a good guy. And Nick Blankenberg, for what he was asked to do last year, did well. And it was a good story, and all that's great. Nick Blankenberg doesn't need to be playing for this team this year. I'm sorry. I'll be the one to say it. He does not need to be playing for the Predators this year. And if he does, he needs to be like the seventh guy. I'm sorry. That's what it needs to be. And I think that's what their plan is. We'll see.
Now, of course, if you take this to the whole team, you know, that is basically what we're looking at, which is –
especially at forward.
Yeah, like the overall team is yeah, they can be way better with the same team. Now, yeah. Can they? It's possible.
It's possible that they could be better. It's hard for me to get to way better.
Yeah, but that's what the goal is. That's what the demand is, certainly to make the playoffs.
I just saw some – I got, you know, my For You page on Twitter, which is a dangerous place to be, but it's basically just like a bunch of hockey fans in different fan bases. Like, I get caught up in like Anaheim Ducks conversations sometimes with my For You page. I'm like, why am I here? Like, what is happening? Why am I on Ducks Twitter right now? But like some of the yelling going on about Mark Del Geyso last night, I was like, guys, Mark Del Geyso, you can find 50 of Mark Del Geysos any offseason you want.
I want winners.
I don't understand it. Again, and I'm not, this has turned into me just like bashing Mark Del Geyso.
And Preds fans.
Yeah, he's fine. He's a fine player. He's a fringe NHL guy. But, I mean, the way that some people were acting is like they lost, you know, prime Ryan Suter. I mean, thought we were going to see David Poile, like, flying off the handle at some point last night.
I mean, I kind of forgot about Mark Del Geyso.
Yeah, so did a lot of people. Apparently, some people didn't, though.
Apparently, though, man. Who can we call anybody out by name?
I don't remember any of their names. Okay. I just don't follow a lot of them. It's just on the For You page. And I was like, good Lord, I'm scrolling down Twitter. There's a lot of yelling going on about Mark Del Geyso. What's happening around here?
How are Ducks fans? How's Ducks Twitter? Are they happy?
Ducks fans are very excited about
the Granlund contract.
They're actually very excited about the Granlund contract.
Really?
Yes. They think they're going to be really good, according to my experiences on Ducks Twitter on the For You page.
Wow. Okay.
Also, got on Bruins Twitter on For You page. Let me tell you, they're not very excited. They're kind of the anti-Ducks right now.
Speaking of them, real quick – The Stilly played this Boston radio clip of them like flipping out about picking James Higgins. But I guess the guy like hates Boston College or something. Like getting James Higgins at 7,
it's pretty good. Yeah. I think.
I mean, by all information available, that's good.
Yeah.
You shouldn't complain about that.
Like, I hate this pick.
Yeah.
Do you?
Okay. Is that right? You don't think you should take James Higgins at 7 when he's sitting there?
Okay. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We will have Andrew Burnett on the program at 8:15. Coming up next, we're going to get into the job in front of him. What can Andrew Burnett do this year with this team as currently constructed to turn this thing around? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.